Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. If you will take your Bibles and roll me to Psalms chapter number 89. Yeah, I'm going to get to that song here in a little while. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But it's good to be in the Lord's house and just thankful for all that God's done for us, for the opportunity that we have to be here. I want to ask you one favor this morning, that anytime you feel like saying amen, hallelujah, or any of those things this morning, if you will just say wahoo, please. How about them Cavaliers? I'll preach when the mic comes back on. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Just thankful for the opportunity. Thankful for the excitement that I feel of everybody being in God's house this morning. I tell you, just from even a text that I got last night, just someone anticipating what God was going to do in today's service, and then the time that we've spent at God's house this morning, feeling the presence of God. God is wanting to do something special this morning. God's always wanting to do something special, and it's how available are you and I, and how available have we made our hearts unto God. So for the next just a little 30 minutes or whatever it is that I preach this morning, and I'll keep it as short as God will allow, but for the next few minutes, just let's open our hearts to God and God's voice and God's word, and don't worry about tomorrow, don't worry about tonight, and don't worry about anything else. Just try to listen for God to speak to your heart and to your life, and use this opportunity to give God glory for what he's already done. And if you're here this morning, and maybe your life is strayed away, maybe you're walking in a place that you shouldn't be walking, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is no better opportunity than right now to get things right with God. Hey, I believe you can get saved at home. I got saved at home. I know people that got saved in their bathrooms. I know people that got saved out in the woods. But I want to tell you what, in God's house, in the presence of His Holy Spirit, in the presence of other believers, I believe is a fantastic time to come and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So open your hearts, open your ears, and let God speak to you this morning. If you'll bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. God, I just want to thank you for the excitement that's in my heart this morning to be in your house. And God, I pray, dear Father, for the next few minutes that you'll clear my mind, God. I pray that you'll speak to my heart, God, and I pray that you'll help me, God, as I try to preach what I know that you've laid upon my heart, God, that you'll help me to do it in a way that glorifies you. Because I'm surely not worthy to stand here this morning. There's nothing in me, God, except your Son, Jesus Christ, that's any good. And God, I just want to thank you for him and what he's done in my life. But as we stand here this morning, I pray that you'll get me, my weaknesses out of the way, God, and may your Holy Spirit take your word and speak to our hearts. May we open our hearts and yield ourselves to your Spirit. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Psalms chapter number 89. The Bible says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I want you to look as we get into Psalms chapter number 89. This kind of, the verses that we're going to read this morning, we're not going to read the whole chapter. It's kind of broke into three different sections. And verse number 1 through 4, the writer is affirming that he has belief in God's faithfulness. And I want to tell you this morning that I have belief in God's faithfulness. God has never let me down. He has never left me wanting. He has never left me in a desire that I needed fulfilled in my life. And here in verses 1 through 4, the writer is writing of his affirmation of God's faithfulness. Listen to what he says again. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. My mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Church, I believe it's time that we make known God's faithfulness in our lives to the outside world. I believe it's time that we let others know just how faithful God has been in our lives. There's so many times, you know, I get to talking to people and I begin to hear their testimony and how God has moved in their life. And there is things that has happened in everyone's life in here that you have experienced the faithfulness of God. You have experienced God moving in your life, and there's people that's never heard it. There's people, and when you begin to tell me about it, it moves me on the inside. It stirs the spirit in my heart. And I want to encourage us as Christians that we share it with all generations. Verse number 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up the throne to all generations. Selah. Now, as he's saying here, there's a covenant been made with David, how that David's generations would go on and the strength of his generations. And the writer is saying, I have faith in God's covenant. Now we get to verse number 5. Verse number 5 through verse number 14, the writer is, he's recognizing God for his power, for his strength in verses 5 through 14. Let's continue reading. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Listen to verse number 6. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence all of them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab, or Egypt, in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon, those were two mountains. One was on the east side of Jordan. One was on the west side of Jordan. So we could say that the north, the south, the east, and the west shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Now, as we get to verse number 15, we switch thoughts again. And now the writer, and the reason I keep saying that is there's about six different people that they try to credit Psalms 89 to. We're not positively sure who wrote this, but I know it was given by the inspiration of God. Verse number 15, the Bible says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord, he is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel, he is our King. May God add a blessing to the reading of the word this morning. As I want us to look in the last few verses that we read here, he said, I'm going to rejoice for the glory that is in our King. I'm going to rejoice because God is our God. And then as you say, well, preacher, I think we got some things to rejoice for this morning. And I want to spend just a few minutes talking about some things that I think that we have to rejoice in. First of all, I want us to go back to verse number 6. This is kind of going to be the main idea of the message this morning. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? You know, there's a lot of mighty men in this earth that we have. But even so more than that, in the first part of verse number 6, he says, who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? I want to ask you this morning, who is like our God? Who can be compared to our God this morning? Who could you stand beside of him and say, this person is kind of like him? Who could be compared unto the Lord? I want to tell you this morning that there is no one like our God. There is no one in heaven or in earth that's like our God. We are serving a God this morning that is full of glory, that is full of mercy, that is always going to stand on his word, that is always going to be faithful unto his word. And this morning I want to ask you this, is there anyone that it can be compared to our God? The answer is no, there is no one like our God. I'm going to run a rabbit through the Bible right here, and I want you to go with me for just a few minutes. I want you to look at some things. Who in the world could you call on except for God? Who could you call on in this world, in heaven, other than God, to help you through some of these situations? There is no one like our God. When you're facing a giant in your life, when enemies come against you and there's things going on in your life, and you're facing a giant in your life that it seems like there's no way that you can come against this giant, there's no way that you can have victory over this giant, then I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter number 17, how that David went up against Goliath, and I don't have time to get into the whole story this morning, but we know that there is no way in the world that David should have been able to stand against Goliath. There's no way in the world that he should have been able to have victory over Goliath, but as David picked up those 5 smooth stones, and the Bible says that he looked at Goliath and he says, you come to me with a spirit and a sword. He said, but I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come to you in the name of God. I want to tell you this morning that if we stand with our God, there is no giant that can come against you, that can defeat you if you will stand in the power of God this morning. Who else are you going to call on when the giant comes your way? Who else can help you when the giant comes your way? When you're facing a fiery trial in your life, when things are happening in your life and it seems like, man, sometimes it gets hot. I mean, the things that's coming against you, it's troublesome. It's a fiery trial, and you don't know that you'll ever be able to get through that fiery trial. Well, I can't help but think about Daniel chapter number 3, when you had 3 boys that wouldn't bow to Nebuchadnezzar's idol that he had made, his graven image. The Bible tells us that the king Nebuchadnezzar, he said, heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Throw these men in there, and that should have been the end of it. Now, who are you going to call on when something comes like that? Who besides God can you call on? Who is like unto our God? There is no one like our God, because the Bible tells me that they bound these men hand and foot. They throwed them into the fiery furnace. And the Bible tells me that the king looked in and said, did we not throw three men into the fire? How is it that I see four and the fourth is likened to the Son of God? Who else could do that besides God? There is no one like our God. When we need God to show up in an amazing way in our life, when we need God to show up and show out and let others know that God is God, that He is powerful, that He can handle any situation that comes in our life, I can't help but think about 1 Kings chapter number 18 when Elijah was coming against the 400 prophets of Baal. And he went out there and he said, I tell you what, let's prove today whose God is who. Let's prove which one really is God. Y'all go call upon your God. And whoever answers with fire, today we'll know that that God is God. And we know that the 400 prophets of Baal, they went out there and they began to cut themselves. They began to cry upon their God. And Elijah went out there and he said, well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's just too far away and he can't hear you. But who is like unto our God that when Elijah, he went and he began to call upon God and he began to ask God to show up and to show out in a mighty way. The Bible tells us that God sent fire from heaven, that it consumed the sacrifice, that it licked up the water that was in the trenches. Who besides God can do that? There is no one like our God. When you're in the middle of a storm, when you're in the middle of something tough going on in your life, I can't help but think over in Mark chapter number 4, and you see in verse number 39 that the disciples are out on the ocean. They're out there and there's a storm that raises up. And Jesus is asleep down in the ship. And they go to him and they said, Jesus, do you not care that we perish? Do you not know that there's a storm brewing in your life? I want to tell you this morning that if there's a storm brewing in your life, rest assured that God knows about the storm that's in your life. Rest assured that He's there in the middle of that storm. Rest assured that He has power over that storm. Who is like unto our God? There is no one like our God. And as the disciples go and they say, Jesus, do you not care that we perish? The Bible tells us that Jesus steps out in the bow of the ship. He raises his hands and he says, peace be still. And even the winds and the waves obey his will. Who is like unto our God? No one is like our God. I got to breathe a minute. Hallelujah. When you need comfort, when things fall apart, anybody ever had something fall apart in your life? You ever had something that you thought was picture perfect that was going to happen in your life? You thought that your life was set and everything was wonderful, and then all of a sudden, everything falls apart and you need real comfort. I'm not talking about people, and I know that it is comforting when brothers and sisters in Christ come by and they want to hug you up and tell you that they love you and they're praying for you. But I want to tell you something, that you can get comfort deep on the inside. Who was like under our God? The Bible tells me, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3, the Bible says that we are serving the God of all comfort. Hey, there's been things in my life that fell apart. Things that I had planned out. Things that I said, this is how it's all going to work. And I'm sure that this is what God wants. And man, the plan just fell all apart. And it broke my heart. It hurt my feelings. It hurt my pride. Whatever you want to call it. I was down in the dumps and I needed comfort. And I know that I had brothers and sisters praying for me. I know that I had a wife there to support me. But I want to tell you something. There's no one that can comfort you like God can comfort you. There's no one like our God. When you're facing temptation, y'all may not ever face temptation. Y'all are holy and you carry your Bibles everywhere you go and you're singing psalms and reading scripture and y'all don't face temptation. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes I face temptation. I live in the real world and y'all do too. Y'all face temptation. Ain't it nice to come to church sometimes and just get away from temptation for a little while? I don't face a whole lot of temptation in here. I don't face a whole lot of wanting to do bad stuff in here because I'm amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm in the presence of the Lord and I got my mind set right. But you know, out here in the real world, sometimes it's hard to keep all of those things put together, and I face temptation. The devil puts things in front of me that try to make me fall and try to make me fail. And you know what? Sometimes I fall and I fail. But I want you to know that God has promised me in His Word. I like to give you the scripture. God has promised me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. He says, every time that you're tempted, I will also make a way of escape from that temptation. I'll be honest with you this morning. I'm not always looking for that way of escape. I'm not always looking to get away from the temptation. Sometimes I see the temptation. I know some people may not like their preacher admitting this. But I sometimes see that temptation, and that temptation is pleasing to my flesh, and my flesh jumps right into the middle of that temptation. Sometimes I fall for that, but I will guarantee you there's no one like our God. There is no one that can be compared to Him, that if you see that temptation, that along with that temptation, there is a way of escape. Look for that way of escape. There's no one like our God. When you feel like a failure, hey, have you ever tried something and it just didn't work? I have. There's been things in my life that I tried and they just didn't work. And I felt like a failure. Kind of like UNC last night. Easy. I felt like a failure. I'll leave that alone. I felt like, man, I tried everything that I had and I just couldn't succeed. I just couldn't make it happen. And a whole lot of times the problem is I was putting too much faith in I anyway, instead of trying to seek out God and give Him the glory for what was taking place. But there's been times that I felt like a failure. There's been times I fell flat on my face and I felt like, why should I try? Why do I get up? Why in the world would I do anything to try to continue going on in the way that I'm going? But I want you to know that the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 37, you may feel like a failure, but there's no one like our God that'll tell you that you are more than conquerors through Him. That even when you fall and even when you fail, you can get up and you can start again. You can try again. You can move forward because you are a conqueror. You are a winner. You are someone that can go on for the glory of God. Don't feel like a failure when things don't go right in your life. You get up and go on because there's no one like our God. Have you ever been in a crowd and still felt alone? You ever been in a place to where you felt like nobody really understood what you were going through? Nobody really understood what your mindset is, what your feelings are. I've been in that place a time or two in my life. I know I've told you before about me feeding the dog my popsicle, so I won't go into that story again, but I felt pretty alone that day. Me and old Sam was the only ones that knew how bad my feelings were hurting. I was crying and feeding him a lick of a popsicle, and I'd take a lick of a popsicle. Me and Sam, we was there alone. But I want to tell you this morning that there's no one like our God, that even when you think that you're alone, when you think nobody cares, when you think that nobody understands, that in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5, the Bible tells us, God's Word tells us, He is faithful to His Word, and His Word tells us, He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, no matter if friends leave you, no matter if family leaves you, no matter if spouses leave you, no matter if children turn their back on you and go away. God said, I promise you, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. There is no one like our God. If you feel like you can't, sometimes this is my personality, and I was going to say I can't help it, but I ain't going to say that right here in this sentence, because can't is a word that I've tried to teach my kids to put out of their vocabulary. But then I find myself doing it, but I'm the kind of person, if I see something in front of me and I really don't think that I can succeed at it, and my definition of success, in school I was the kind of person that a 99 wasn't good enough. I wanted 105. I wanted to overachieve in everything that I did. And when I come to a place and I didn't think that I could overachieve in something, I just wouldn't try it. I'd say, I can't. But I want to tell you this morning in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 13 that the Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You should never say that you can't do something, because with God you can do anything. There's no one like our God. Look at the word that He has given us this morning. Look at what He is teaching us in His word, that you can do all things, that you don't have to feel like a failure, that you don't have to be alone, that you don't have to go through temptation. And it's all because there's no one like our God that's given us this wonderful word that will stand no matter what else fails. The Bible tells us that heavens will fall, that mountains will fall, that kingdoms will fall, but God's word is going to stand forever. You can count on it, and He is faithful to His word. I can't. Philippians 4:13 says you can. You feel like you've strayed. Have you ever been in a time and a place where you have strayed away from God? Now listen, I hadn't really listened to my girls sing a whole lot this week as they've been practicing singing this. I knew at the beginning of the week they was going to sing this song about this one little lost sheep. But I had kind of forgotten about it till this morning, and then I was trying to learn it. And I made Maggie mad and made her come over and sing in my ear, because I couldn't hear the words to it. And as she began to sing those words, man, it just kind of, it bubbled on the inside of me. I wished that you could hear it really clear. And I don't know, I couldn't hear it where I was at. Maybe y'all did, maybe you didn't. But you know, the gist of that song was about that one little lost lamb that strayed away. And that one little lost lamb was wondering about what the other 99 were doing. That other 99, they were comfortable in the fold. They were there with the shepherd. And here this one is out here by itself, wondering if the shepherd's mad. wondering what's going on, what kind of harm is going to come to him, wondering is there any way that they can get back to the fold. But I want to tell you this morning, because of the God that we serve and because there's no one like our God, because of that 99 that's there in the fold, don't think for just a minute that you're out here and that you've strayed all by yourself. Don't think that you're out here and there's no way to get back to the fold. Because I want to tell you this morning, the shepherd has told us that I will leave the 99 and I will go out and I will seek out that one that has went astray. And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life when I went astray. There have been times in my life when I was still sitting on the second pew of the church and I was astray. There's been times when I let my heart get away from God. There have been times when my life didn't match up with what I was talking about in church. There's been times when I was just saying, God, I want to try this on my own for a little while. And I went astray and I got out there by myself and I felt like, how do I get back to the fold? And I want to tell you this morning that I'm glad that it wasn't by my effort. It wasn't because I even tried to get back to the fold. But the way that I made it back to the fold is because the shepherd was out seeking me. He was out looking for me. He was wanting to know where I was at. He was wanting to come get me and bring me back to the fold. That's how I made it back to the fold. Don't ever feel like you're strayed and you can't get back. Because of the God we serve, because there's no one like our God. He says in Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 4, he said, I'll leave the 99 and I'll go seek the one that's went astray. I'm thankful for the God that we serve. If you feel like you've strayed, there's no better time than this morning. Hannah, if you will, come on. I preached hard and fast. I'm about done. If you feel like you've strayed, there's no better time than today to let the Master, hey, the Master, you know what? If you're here this morning and you're lost, or you're here this morning and you've walked away from God, you've got one up on everybody else here this morning. All these people that are living in the center of God's will and they're searching for God and they're wanting God, you got one up. Because God didn't come here seeking them this morning. But if you're here this morning and you're lost, God come here seeking you. He said, the well don't need a physician. He said, I'm coming to find the ones that are sick. I'm going to seek and save those which are lost. If you're here this morning and you're lost, then God came here seeking you. For the ones that's living right and doing right and in the center of God's will, hey, they should have come here seeking God. But if you're here and you're lost, God came here seeking you. Who is like under our God? There's no one like our God. If you're here this morning, you know, I was going to say you feel like you've sinned. But let's just go ahead and put it where the rubber meets the road. You know that you've sinned. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells us we're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there's none good, no, not one. And you know, some people, they want to take those scriptures and they want to beat themselves up with it and say, well, there's just no way that I can live right and do right. I'm a sinner. Hey, I am a sinner. But I want to tell you something this morning. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary, I am a sinner. But God, forgive me of my sins. And this morning, I stand here washed as a child of the King this morning. But if you're here this morning and you know that sin has entered into your life, you know that you, man, just to put it plain and simple, you've turned your back on God and walked away from Him. You're living, doing what you want to do. And you know that it's not where it's supposed to be. You know, several times God in His Word, He describes our relationship with Him like a marriage. And I get myself in trouble all the time, so today won't be any different. But you know, sometimes mine and Autumn's relationship is just not what it's supposed to be. Sometimes it's just not what God designed it to be. And this past week, for some reason, I had an attitude problem. I had a bad attitude problem. And you know what? I don't take it out on you when you call me on the phone. I don't take it out on my customers when they call me on the phone. But my wife, I take it out on her. If I'm ill to anybody, I'm ill to her. Now, let me get back to my point. I've done made everything right. It's good between us this morning. But as I look at our relationship, you know, I love that woman with all of my heart. I know that she loves me. She's the mother of my children, and I want us to grow together. And that's the desire of my heart. But then for some reason, at certain points and times, I walk away from that desire. I get an attitude problem. I get ill. I treat her like she shouldn't be treated. And I walk away from that. You know what? We do that to God too. I think that sincerely we all have a desire to have a good relationship with God. We have a desire for our relationship, for our intimacy to grow with God. We have a desire to walk with Him hand in hand. and we know that God loves us and we love Him, but for some reason, sometimes we turn away from that and we walk away from it. Well, you know what I had to do? I had to catch Autumn somewhere yesterday and hug her up real close and say, honey, I don't know why I am the way I am sometimes, but I'm sorry. I love you with everything in me. Please forgive me. I'm going to do my best to do better. I promise you, I'm going to do my best to do better. I'm going to cherish our time together. And I had to do, you know what? Sometimes I have to do that with God. Go back and say, God, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I did what I did. God, you don't deserve me for me to act like that. You don't deserve for me to walk away. God, you don't deserve that because you gave your very best for me. I'm glad that in 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 9, the Bible says that if we will confess our sins, that He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, that is some of my favorite scripture because I have to go to it over and over and over again. God, forgive me. God, help me. God, you said that you'd be faithful and just. God, I need forgiveness. This morning, I don't know where your relationship is with God. I want to tell you something, that we're serving a God like no other, that we're serving a God that no one can compare to. There is no one like our God. But are we walking where we're supposed to be with Him? Are we living where we're supposed to be with Him? Are we saved this morning? Don't miss an opportunity to have your relationship right with God. Don't miss an opportunity to reach out and to say, God, I know that I haven't been exactly what I should have been. Let me ask you this. If you don't get saved, if you don't want your relationship with God to be what it is, where else are you going to go? Who else are you going to call on? When sickness comes to your family, who are you going to call on? When bad things happen in your family, who are you going to call on? I hope that my relationship with God is where I know that God's my only answer. I want to read you three verses of Scripture. John chapter number 6 and verse number 66. The Bible says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And Jesus looked at His disciples. He looked at the 12 and He said, will you also go away? Peter spoke up and he answered. He said, then Simon answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For Thou hast the words of eternal life. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is the answer, that Jesus Christ is the only answer, that there is no one like our God. There's nothing. Hey, there may be some things in this world that give you some short-term happiness, but you only find joy in the middle of God's will. There's some things in this world that feels like they're going to make you stronger, better, more stable, but there is nothing that can give you eternal life except Jesus Christ. Don't walk out of these doors not right with God this morning. As you stand to your feet this morning, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to take just a quick look into your heart this morning. Am I exactly? Hey, there is no one like our God. We're serving the most awesome God, the only God, this morning. But how is your relationship with Him? Can you sit here this morning and say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm walking with God. I know that I'm listening for God. Can you say that this morning? If not, then you need to do business with God. If not, then you need to get something right with God. And it don't have anything to do with me. You don't have to tell me anything. It don't have anything to do with your neighbor, your parents, your children. It don't have anything to do with anyone but you and God. You just need to come make it right with God. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never said, I know that I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness of my sins. There's no one like our God, because you can call on any. You can call on Allah. You can call on Buddha. You can call on anybody you want to. And nobody else can do for you what God can do for you, and that's forgive you of your sins. Here in just a minute, Hannah's going to sing. I'm going to ask you just to keep your heads bowed while she sings this morning. If you've got a need in your heart, bring it to the altar. If you're here and you're lost, come and find Jesus Christ. He's looking for you. He's came here seeking you. Come and say, here I am. Go ahead, Hannah.
Just as I am without one.
If you need to do business with God, come on.
But that
there's a little something in your life that ain't supposed to be there.
Come talk it over.
You're not the only one in here in that boat. I promise you that, because I'm with you.
Thou bidst me. just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of want or but to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you for your attendance, for your attention this morning. I hope everything's okay between you and God. Hey, if it's not, find somewhere and get things right with God. You know what's crazy is since about Thursday, I knew that I was not treating my wife the way that I should have. And still yet, I wanted to walk in denial and just swell up and say, well, it's okay. But you know what? When I finally broke down and said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I need to talk to you, and got things right, it's been a burden that's been off of me. This morning, if you're here, you may try to just swell up and say, everything's okay between me and God. You may try to hide it. You may try to do whatever. But if you'll finally just give up and have a talk with God, I promise you it'll make a difference in your life. Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate you. I hope that you all have a good week. We have Wednesday night Bible study. Also tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have our men's meeting, and the ladies will have a Bible study in here. If you can be here, be here. And I'm sure that you will enjoy it.